All right, brethren, Song of Solomon. Lord willing, we will finish chapter 1. We'll read for continuity verses 12 to 17. Short review of 12 to 15, and then we'll pick up in 16 and 17. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings and your help, O Lord, as we open this blessed book. I pray, Father, that our souls would be immersed in it. I pray you would reveal it, illuminate it to us, Father. Help us, Lord, that we might understand this wonderful love that should exist between Christ and his church. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are fir. Well, if you recall last time, we looked at the bridegroom's response to the bride. But before that, we know that she sat at the table of the king, and she said that her spikenard sent forth its sweet aroma when she sat at the king's table. And that fragrance of her spikenard, we liken to Mary's spikenard ointment in John chapter 12, that it filled that entire house where Christ sat at the supper table. And beloved, you remember yours, my love to Christ, both our love to Christ individually should diffuse from our lives like that. That's how our love to Christ should diffuse from our lives. It should be like a sweet fragrance. She then said of him, she said, my well-beloved is unto me a bundle of myrrh. Not as, but is. He is unto me a bundle of myrrh, as if she wore a bundle of myrrh around her neck, resting between her breasts. And she said, a cluster of camphor, sweet camphor flowers, fragrant sweet camphor flowers, like a cluster of them held close in her hands. My desire, saith the bride. And this is what I see the bride saying. My desire, saith the bride, saith the church, saith you, child of God, is to embrace and hold on to Christ and to do nothing that would provoke him to depart from me. I cannot bear the thought, and I pray this would be your heart, that you cannot bear the thought of living without him and the thought of not knowing the expressions of his love toward you. Beloved, how can we be in love with Christ if we can live without the expressions of his love toward us? If we love Christ, we want to know that love. It's like if I love my wife, I want to know her love back to me. Your wife wants to know your love to her. Well, he gives his response. It's a loving and powerful response to the bride, to her, as I think here he reassures her that it is her beauty, and now, we didn't talk about this last time, and now it is her eyes that have taken hold of him and captured his heart. And remember what he called her in verse 15. He called her my love, my love. And that's what he calls you, child of God. It is as if he is stopping her from her fears. And what are her fears? You remember we talked about those, that he would behold her infirmities, her imperfections. As she said, don't look upon me because I am black, back in verse 5. That he would behold her infirmities and her imperfections and her sins. And how could he love anyone so unworthy and unperfect as she? How is it that he sees any beauty in her? How is it that he sees anything in her at all that he could love her? Don't you feel like that sometimes? And because of her fears, his love to her, she fears might wane. It might grow cold. It might depart from her. But this is what he beholds in her that is so beautiful. You remember, he loved us first. We love him because he loved us first. So this is what he beholds in her that is so beautiful, which he so loves. It is that which he has adorned her with in grace, in humility, and yes, in this, that she does acknowledge her own infirmities and her imperfections and her sins. He loves that about his bride. But back to her eyes, and there's something else here that's taken hold of him. Her eyes have captured his heart. He tells her, "Thou hast dove's eyes." Now, you know as well as I do, you speak with your eyes, unspoken words. I can look out at your eyes, and sometimes you speak with your eyes. You can look at your spouse. You can look at your children. You can look at someone, and they can speak very loud and clear by the language of their eyes. Our eyes disclose and communicate. I would say our eyes betray us when perhaps our mouths will not. And so your eyes disclose, communicate, and reveal your affections, your desires, and yes, the emotions of your heart. Your eyes do. You've seen sad eyes, right? You can tell when one's eyes are sad. You've seen depressed eyes. You've looked into your wife's eyes or your husband's eyes or your child's eyes, and you can see grief, you can see sorrow, you can see happiness, you can see love. So you can see those things. He has beheld her eyes, and he says, "Thou hast dove's eyes." Notice that he chose one specific thing about her. It's interesting, you know, sometimes when we mention someone that we know is lost, and one prominent sin comes to mind when we think of that person. Well, here we see Christ, he chooses one prominent thing that he beholds in her that is so beautiful. And though he had adorned her with all of her beauty, though he had given her all things that pertain unto life and godliness, it was this one thing in her beauty that he so loved. It was her eyes. And why did he love her eyes so much? Because they looked upon him in love. Because they were the eyes of love. Dove's eyes. They captured his heart. It's an amazing thing. They were not lofty and arrogant. They were not evil. They were not high. They were not haughty when she looked upon him. She did not have the eyes of a hawk or of a lion. The bride's eyes did not wander in discontentedness or dissatisfaction from the bridegroom. She did not have wandering eyes. You know that a man does not want the eyes of his woman wandering. Neither does a woman want the eyes of her man wandering. And so the eyes of her love were fixed upon him. Her eyes were singularly fixed upon him in humility and sincerity. Her eyes told the truth of her heart. And that's what he loved so much. She could not hide her love, which she had for him, which she felt so consistently unworthy to receive from him. But she looked upon him in love. Can you see this love that he had for her? Communicated personally and intimately to her that this love was. It was communicated intimately and personally from him to her, and now it is returned in kind from her to him. We love him because he first loved us. This is what he beheld and loved so much in her. And so, think about this, his love toward her and your love. Think about this, your love towards your wife, men. Your love will beautify your wife, your love towards her. Your love will cause her eyes to be the eyes of love, the dove's eyes. And so this is how Christ communicates to his church. It is for this that she cannot keep silent. And now in verse 15, she tells her well-beloved, she says, now I must tell you this, because you can see in verse 15, he says, behold, thou art fair, my love. This is Christ to his church. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. But she says, no, no, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also is our bed. It is green. So she says, thou art fair. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are of fir. I think of Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. So this is what the bride's saying. Not unto me, but unto you. Not unto me, O Lord, not unto me, but unto thy name do we give glory. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is the bride. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Everything beautiful in you, church, is from Christ. And he looks upon that beauty and he loves it, especially when it is returned in kind. And so the bride says, I am what I am because of thee, saith the bride. How can I, who am so unworthy, saith the bride, be beautiful? How can I be beautiful? And this is what is so difficult in our lives as children of God, to understand how Christ could delight in us. Isn't that true? But then we know that if there is any beauty in us, it is from what he has, again, communicated to us and adorned in us. He adorns us with his loves, with his graces, with his humility, with his meekness, which is now the outflow of our lives. Do you remember this, that Christ says to you, child of God, remember this, behold my love, remember that. So here the bride cannot but quickly return this commendation to him that he has given to her. Behold, thou art fair, my love, or my beloved. This is a love attraction, this love relationship. This love relationship, this love attraction should exist between you and Christ. It should, if you're a child of God, it should exist between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it should grow stronger and stronger with each passing day. If Christ is so beautiful, and isn't he so beautiful? If Christ is so beautiful in the here and now, whom we see now only by faith and through veiled eyes, oh, how beautiful when we shall behold him face to face. The bride also says, behold, thou art pleasant. So thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant, he says, or she says rather. Psalm 16:11, just listen, the scripture of the psalmist here says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Christian, do you read things like this and do you ask God to help you by his grace to enter into this pleasure? We think of pleasure and we think of sinful pleasure. We think of the pleasures of sin for a season. No, beloved, do we read of this pleasure that's in the presence of our God, in the presence of our Christ? Do we desire this? Do we think about it and we say, never experienced it? That's a problem. When we read things like this, we should say, I want these pleasures. I want this love attraction to my Lord Jesus Christ, to the bridegroom. I desire to experience his love to me. Psalm 36, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them, that is God's people, that is you, to drink of the river of thy pleasures. To drink of the river of thy pleasures. These passages like this should beg the question in all of us, have I experienced this? If the answer is no, then it begs the next question, why not? It begs an examination, why not, Lord? If I am in Christ, why have I not experienced this? This is the really good part.
She says also, our bed is green. She doesn't say, notice, thy bed, my well-beloved, is green. She doesn't say, my bed or thy bed. She says, what does she say? What's that personal pronoun? Our bed is green. Notice, she says, our bed. And in just a minute, she says, our house. Not his house, not her house, but our house. So she said, our bed is green. So she shares in what is his. What is his is given to her. It is ours, she says. Our bed, saith the bride, is where I enjoy rest with you, my well-beloved. It is where you lie all night between my breasts. It is the place where I enjoy secret intimacy and fellowship with you. It is also described here as green. Green. Green in the scriptures often means flourishing, means full of life, means fruitful. Look at Jeremiah. Let me just show you a few, two quick examples. Jeremiah 17 and verse 8. Jeremiah 17 and verse 8. Jeremiah 17, 8. Verse 7, he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be flourishing, fat, and full of life. That's what it means, green. And shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Psalm 1, our memory passage from recent weeks. You can just listen if you're not there, but in Psalm 1, the psalmist in verse 3 says, and he, that is the blessed man, the one that delights in the Lord, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Beloved, you are to be green. You are to be flourishing. You are to be full of life from Christ, flourishing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and by fellowship, intimacy, and communion with him. Also, our bed is green. Finally, verse 17, she says, the beams of not my house and not thy house, but the beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are fir. And so our house here is significant, I believe, of the church of the living God. The beams and rafters are of cedar and fir. Fir, it is believed, if you define, is cypress, believe it or not. But saints of God are likened to goodly and strong cedars, goodly and strong trees. Look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92. We know that when Solomon built the house of the Lord, it was built out of what? Cedar. Cedar. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish, be full of life in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That word flourishing means green and luxuriant. You've seen a green plant that's richly green and full and vigorous. That's what the word fat means. Vigorous, green, and luxuriant. But here, the psalmist speaks of the saints of God to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And in Numbers 24, the book of the Numbers, this is the words of, actually, of Balaam. The words of Balaam, who would curse God's people, but he could not. Numbers 24, verse 1, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up this parable, or his parable, and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, this is what he said, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of line aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. As cedar trees beside the waters. And so back to the Song of Solomon. I encourage you to read this chapter over and over again. I encourage you to seek this love relationship that should exist between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. If God so loved you, if God so loves me, beloved, we ought to so love him. Look at it, verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Notice the distinctions there in the personal pronouns. And then she says, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor, flowers, that is, in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Look at, it's like a sanctified competition here almost. Behold, thou art fair, my love, saith Christ. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. But the bride says, no, no, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green, and the beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are fir. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you. Father, there's so much that could be said about these precious words in the Song of Solomon. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would immerse ourselves in them. And I pray more than that, that you would reveal, oh God, this special, radiant love that you have for us, oh God. And that, Father, our hearts would be warmed, Father, in your presence, and that we would love the presence of Christ, O God. I pray that we would know the pleasures of thy presence, O God. O Lord, we know that it's our infirmities, it's our sin, it's our problems that, Father, stop us from enjoying the pleasures of your presence, O God. But your word tells us in thy presence there are pleasures evermore. Oh God, help us. Help us to seek after thy loving kindness. Lord, may it be better than life to us, as the psalmist says. Lord, help us to know this love that passeth knowledge. It's not a common love, cannot be known in our common minds. It must be revealed to us, oh God. I pray that you would do that. Help us, Heavenly Father. Help us to love you so much, oh God. But Father, if that would be so, Father, we need your grace. We need your help. We need your love toward us. Father, we need you to make us more alive than we are now. And so we pray for it and we ask for it. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.